I'm gonna stomp your guts out, Bodine.
Then come on and try. Matt sidestepped and popped John in the belly. It was like hitting a tree.
Bastard!
John Lee swung a big fist. Matt ducked and popped the man in the mouth. John Lee hit Matt on the side of the head and knocked him sprawling. Matt scrambled out of the way as John tried to kick his face in. Rolling, Matt came to his boots, knowing that this was no simple bare-knuckle fight. John was out to kill him any way he could. John Lee charged in, and Matt hit him twice.
This is becoming rather boring, brother. Can't you pick up the pace some?
John swung a right, Matt ducked, and John's big left fist caught him on the side of the head. And Matt heard birds chirping and singing. He backed up, shaking his head. John sensed victory and came in swinging. Matt backheeled him, and the big man hit the ground. Matt kicked him in the side. John rolled away, giving both of them time to clear their heads. Matt hit the big man twice in his already busted mouth, and then ducked a looping punch and kicked the bigger man on the knee. John automatically grabbed at his knee. Matt grabbed the man's head with both hands and brought the head down and his knee up. John staggered back, fighting for time and for air. Matt didn't let up. He followed John's backing up, hammering at the man's belly with left and right punches, and occasionally jabbing John's mouth and jaw with solid connections. John connected and knocked Matt flat on his butt, blood leaking from his mouth. John swung a boot at Matt's face, and Matt grabbed the boot and twisted, spilling the big man into the dirt. Matt was the first up, and he kicked John in the belly as the rancher rose. He sat down hard on his behind. Matt took aim, and the toe of his boot connected with John Lee's chin. Matt walked over to a horse trough and stuck his head in the water, clearing the cobwebs from his brain and the blood from his face. Max walked out of the saloon and motioned for some of the boys to help him. They carried John Lee off to the shaded boardwalk and stretched him out.
Do you hear the mighty flapping of wings, boy?
I hear them.
Those are the angels coming to carry you home, boy.
Buzzards would be more like it.
Angels, brother!
Angels don't want this trash.
Our Lord is a forgiving Lord, brother.
I ain't your brother. And don't give me none of that New Testament crap. I'm an Old Testament man. I believe in an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Mine too, if I find the son of a bitch you done me a hurt.
You heathen!
Windbag.
Josiah walked away from the preacher and went to Matt's side, looking at his face.
He tagged you a couple times, but nothing like what you give him.
He looked down at the broken teeth that lay in the torn-up dirt.
He'll not forgive you for this, Bodine. I think John Lee is a mighty vain man about his looks.
I hope he likes soup. He'll sure be eating it for a while.
Childress was toted off to be fitted for a pine box. His fancy guns lay in the dirt. John Lee was still unconscious. A wagon was hired to carry him back to Broken Lance Range.
How do you like our little town, Finch?
Interesting little place. First town I ever seen that was picked up and set down intact, lock, stock, and horse troughs, by a cyclone.
Strange things happen. I guess you might say it was done by the hand of God.
Damn sure done by somebody's hands.
Not a shot was fired in anger for 2 weeks. The Broken Lance hired guns stayed out of Namet, and the town continued to grow as settlers moving west found it a pleasant place. Some of the smaller ranchers who had been driven out by John Lee returned to pick up the pieces of their lives. After a visit to the settlement, Josiah found he had orders and he drifted on, saying he would be back from time to time to check on things. After careful interviewing and much thought, Jeff Sparks hired Bam Ford and Penn Masters. The men proved to be good cowboys with no aversion to hard work. And Namet had a doctor. Young Dr. Wilbur Winters, with a fresh degree in medicine, was on his way to El Paso, passing through on a stage. The stage stopped to change teams, Wilbur took a break, and decided he liked Namet. With a preacher, a school teacher, and a doctor, the town of Namet was solidly settled now. One of his first patients was Cindy Lee.
You're pregnant.
Hell, I knew that. When's the baby due?
You're asking me?
She had been driven into town in a buggy, accompanied by her husband and a dozen Broken Lance riders. Dodge had ridden in, accompanied by half a dozen Circle S hands, among them Jean and Leah and Lisa Sparks. The girls had come to town to shop.
I'll stay with the Broken Lance people. You stay with the Circle S bunch.
I might get the impression that you're avoiding Lisa.
You'd be right. That woman has matrimony on her mind. And so does Leah. You be careful, brother, or you'll find yourself roped, tied, and branded.
Not as long as I know the way out of town and have a fast horse.
The brothers had a lot of country to travel before they would entertain the thought of marriage. It had been 2 weeks since any of the Circle S crew had visited town, and Matt was anxious to catch up on what had been happening at the ranch.
Quiet. Ever since you laid that whooping on John Lee, he's pulled in his horns. I'd have given a month's pay to have seen it.
That Texas Ranger stopped by the ranch. He said Childress won't be giving us any more trouble.
Childress was a loudmouth punk. John Lee put him up to bracing me.
Josiah paid you a high compliment, Matt. He said you're the man who is faster than him.
That's a compliment I hope he keeps to himself.
Oh, he will. But them gunnies out of Broken Lance won't. The word's already spread. Two of them guns John Lee hired pulled out. They hauled their ashes the day after you dropped Childress and whooped John Lee. Penn Masters said they were pretty fair hands with a short gun themselves.
I wish they'd all leave.
Speaking of Broken Lance people, here they come.
The saloon filled with Broken Lance guns, including Nick, who looked like he was on the prod. The young man gave Matt a dirty look and gave Jean an even dirtier one. Then his eyes touched on young Jimmy, and a smirk crossed his face. He gestured to one of the gunnies, and both men smiled. Jimmy flushed and tensed. Dodge touched his arm.
Just stand easy, boy. You ain't no gun hand.
Matt put his back to the bar to face the Broken Lance crowd. Sam pushed open the bat wings and stepped inside, holding a greener in his left hand.
Can't a man even sit down and enjoy a drink without having to look down the barrels of a damn express gun?
It isn't pointed at you, or anybody else.
I always figured a man who carried one of them was a coward.
He was standing too close to Sam to have said that. Sam hit him with a right that knocked the smart mouth off his boots and stretched him out flat on the saloon floor.
You fucker!
Nick made a grab for his guns. He paled when Sam beat him to the draw in a no-contest show of speed. Sam gestured at a Broken Lance rider.
Take his guns out of leather, then get him to his boots.
Sam laid the greener on the bar, then took off his gun belt and pulled his second .44 from behind his sash. Just as Nick was getting to his boots, Sam walked over and busted him smack in the mouth with a hard right fist. The rancher's son hit the floor for the second time in as many minutes. With blood leaking from his mouth, Nick shook his head, springing to his boots and wading in after Sam, both fists flailing the air.
Cocksucker!
Sam sidestepped and clubbed the punk on the side of his face with a right, then followed that with a left to Nick's belly. He hooked a boot behind Nick's foot and sent him crashing to the floor. Nick rolled and came up with a chair in his hands. Sam waited until the last possible split second, stepped aside, and Nick slammed into the bar. Sam hammered at the punk's kidneys with hard fists. Sam grabbed the punk by his long hair and jerked him away from the bar. With one hand in Nick's hair and the other holding on to the seat of his jeans, Sam propelled the punk out of the saloon and deposited him in a horse trough. Just then, Lisa and Leah came walking up from one direction, and Cindy waddling up from another. The Broken Lance rider who had escorted Cindy to the doc's office grabbed for iron, and Matt, standing by the bat wings, drilled him dead center in the chest. Sam hauled Nick out of the water and threw him into the center of the street. The punk rolled in the dirt and came up looking like a mud ball.
Lousy, greasy engine bastard! I'll kill you for this!
Sam walked over to him and kicked him in the mouth. Nick's front teeth now joined his father's front teeth, still lying somewhere in the dirt of the street.
John Lee will hang your scalp on his saddle horn for this!
Matt turned from the bat wings to face the Broken Lance riders.
Pick up your rabid skunk and your dead gunslick and get out of town. I'll not bar any of you from town, but don't come in here looking for trouble. Pass the word, boys. No trouble in name it.
You played hell this time, Bodine. You know John Lee won't let this pass easy. And I ain't threatening you none by saying it. I'm just stating fact is all. He's a revenge-seeking man, he is.
Harry, I'm gonna give you and the other boys some advice. You know there's a Texas Ranger working slow circles around this area. If this situation busts wide open, he'll call for help, and you all know what that means. Shoot a Texas Ranger and his buddies will track you through the gates of hell. Best thing you boys could do is draw your pay and ride.
I ain't never quit a job of work, Bodine. No point in starting now.
Attacking ranches and trying to burn them out, Harry? That's what you call a job of work? Attacking women?
I heard about some old boys attacking the Circle S. Of course, I wouldn't know nothing about who done it. But it seems they run up on a Mex cook with a shotgun, and them boys lost. Appears to me them women you speak of can take care of themselves.
I've said all I can say then, Harry.
I have a couple of the boys escort Nick and his bride back to the ranch. You mind if the rest of us finish our drinks?
Don't mind at all, Harry. Long as there is no trouble.
It won't come from none of us, Bodine.
Fair enough. Enjoy your drinks, boys.
Matt walked out on the boardwalk and stood with Sam, watching as the unconscious form of Nick Lee was loaded into the buggy beside his wife. The body of the hired gun was tied face down across his saddle, and the parade headed out of town, escorted by several Broken Lance riders.
Wonder where the nearest dentist is.
El Paso, probably. Maybe Fort Worth. Brother, if this doesn't blow the lid off things, I don't know what will.
We said that when you whipped John Lee, remember?
Yeah, we sure did. What's he waiting on, Sam?
He might be waiting on some false teeth.
Matt and Sam were awakened about 10 o'clock by Lomax banging on the front door.
They hit the Flying V about 2-3 hours ago, boys. Burned down the barn, scattered the horses, and put lead in Ed Carson. He ain't gonna make it, I'm thinking. Chucky's over getting the dock now. Gary rode in to tell us, but he couldn't ride no more. He caught one in the shoulder.
Sam stepped around Matt, slinging his gun belt around his lean waist and sticking the second 44 behind his sash.
I'll saddle the horses.
They were in the saddle 10 minutes later, the doctor right behind them in his buggy. Jeff Sparks had left 10 hands behind at his ranch, and he had led the ride over to the Flying V. Lisa driving her mother in the buggy, Leah on Lightning.
I say we ride over to the Broken Lance and burn the goddamn place to the ground and kill every dirty son there.
Not while I'm wearing this badge.
Nor I.
Whose side are you on?
I won't even dignify that with a reply.
Sparks' shoulders slumped, and he shook his head.
I'm sorry, Sam, I truly am, but what the hell can we do?
Gary, did you get lead in any of the attackers?
Killed 4. We stretched them out over yonder. John Lee's hired some new men, Matt. We ain't never seen any of them dead gun slicks afore. And their horses got brands we ain't never seen.
He hired them especially for this job, and those that got away are still riding. Bet on it. Nothing left behind to connect the Broken Lands with the night's trouble. He's getting smarter.
How many men were there?
10, I'd say. They're all wearing dark dusters and come out as fast and hard. I guess that we wounded maybe 2 of them. How bad is anybody's guess?
And they headed north, straight for the New Mexico border.
Dr. Winters stepped out on the porch of the ranch house.
Gentlemen, Ed Carson just died.
Matt pulled Beavers over to one side.
Get you a fresh horse and ride for the settlement. Get a wire out or some kind of message to Ranger headquarters. Advise them we need Josiah Finch in here and we need him right now.
I'm gone, Matt.
I'm here now.
They all turned around. Josiah Finch sat horse about 25 feet from them. Horse moved as quietly as the Ranger.
I seen the fire from miles off. Figured it had to be trouble.
Finch looked at Matt and Sam.
By the power vested in me by the state of Texas, I now say that you two is sworn in Texas Rangers. Raise your right hands and repeat after me.
He swore them in on the spot.
Now, by God, you two will not be a riding hellbent around for trouble. You're Texas Rangers now.
The Ranger dug in his saddlebags and tossed them badges.
Pin them on, boys. You're now Marshal of Namet.
He pointed to Penn Masters.
Me? The hell you say?
Josiah pointed to Bam.
And you's his deputy.
That's disgusting. What'll all my friends say?
Knowing the kind of people you've been associating with for years, they'll probably shoot you on sight. Matt, Sam, give them two new lawmen your marshal's badges and switch your saddles to fresh horses. We got some tracking to do. First light, one of you boys ride to the settlement and send a wire to Austin. Ranger HQ. Advise them we got two new rangers, Matt Bodine and Sam Two Wolves, and to put them on the payroll. Let's ride, boys.
Daylight found them closing in on the men who had attacked the ranch. The outlaws had ridden hard for 10 miles, then rested, and back in the saddle, had been walking their horses.
Does it bother you at all that we just might be in New Mexico?
Nope.
But you have no arrest powers outside of Texas.
I do as long as I keep the criminals in sight.
But we haven't seen them yet.
Seen their tracks. Same thing.
You are a very exasperating man.
I'm a Texas Ranger, that says it all. And so is you boys. Bear that in mind.
Smoke from a campfire up ahead.
That'll be them.
Sam looked at Josiah. The man's jaw was set, and his eyes focused straight ahead.
Why do I get the feeling that we're just going to ride right into the outlaw camp? If it is the men who attacked the ranch, announce who we are and demand their surrender.
Because that's what we are going to do. Ain't no point in pussyfooting around and being polite and all that. We know where we stand as soon as they jerk iron. If they don't jerk iron, we got the wrong bunch. We can step down and have coffee with them.
And if they are the right bunch?
We shoot them and then drink their coffee. Lawn's easy once you get the hang of it.
Incredible.
Thank you.
Six men looked up from their breakfast as the three rangers approached their camp. Two of them wore bloody bandages, one on his leg, the other arm shot. All had dark dusters tied behind their saddles.
Get ready. We got two apiece.
We have them outnumbered.
Sure do. Glad to see you're getting the hang of it so fast.
The three rangers had the reins in their left hands. Their right hands were close to their guns. The outlaws were heavily armed, and the men brushed back their coats, exposing their pistols.
Texas Rangers, stand or deliver, boys.
When the shooting stopped, three outlaws were stretched out in the dirt, dead. Two were hit hard and probably dying, and a third stood holding his one good arm in the air. His right arm dangled bullet-shattered by his side.
Stand over yonder.
Josiah motioned with his peacemaker. The man moved slowly back. The rangers swung down from their saddles and began checking the camp. Josiah tied the wounded man's good arm to his belt and poured himself a cup of coffee, using his own cup from his saddlebags.
Might catch hydrophobia from them Yahoo's cups. Talk to me, boy.
Nice day, ain't it?
Josiah smiled, the slight curving of his lips resembling a rattler smile.
Now, boy, we can do this any number of ways. You can cooperate, and I might see that the judge goes easy on you. Or you can get smart-mouthed, and I'll just leave you here without horse, guns, boots, or food. And if you think I won't do that, then you're a fool.
Ugh. Man come up to our camp outside a trading post called Roswell, up north of here. Must have been, 3 or 4 weeks ago. It was at night. I never did get a good look at him. Said he wanted a job of work done. Wanted a rancher named McCarson burned out and his cattle drove off. Throwed a sack of money onto the ground and left. Took Stephen there about a week to round up enough boys to pull it off. Then we done her. Now I'm sitting here shot up looking at you. That's all I know about it.
Josiah sipped his coffee and stared at the man.
It's my duty to tell you that you're under arrest for murder. That rancher died last night.
You'll play hell proving it was me that killed him.
That's a fact. But you was a part of it. You confessed to it in front of three Texas Rangers. So that means you'll spend some years in prison. Which horse is yours?
The bay over there.
Matt saddled the bay while Sam collected the guns and personal effects from the dead. The men sat around the fire, for the morning was still cool, drinking coffee and frying bacon while they waited for the other outlaws to die. As soon as they passed, the bodies were dragged over to a ravine. A small bluff was caved in over them. Josiah got his Bible, and the men took off their hats.
Oh, Lord, do what you can for these sorry bastards. Amen. Let's ride.
They headed back to Texas. They rode in to name it, dirty and tired and hungry and wanting a hot bath, some food, and rest. The wounded outlaw, his name was Charles Gruen, was treated by Dr. Winters and tossed into one cell of the three-cell pokey.
Now what happens?
You get tried soon as I can get a judge over here. Might be next month, might be next year. Then we either hang you or you go to prison.
I want a lawyer.
I'm sure you do. But there ain't no lawyers in this town. Thank the Lord.
I was driven to a life of crime. I had a terrible childhood. My daddy beat me.
He didn't beat you enough. Now shut up.
There was a note on the desk stating that Penn and Bam were out chasing some petty thieves. They would be back first light. The men took their baths, shaved, and then got something to eat. Josiah turned up the lamp on the office desk and took pen and paper and began writing out his report. He left it on the desk when he went out back to use the privy. Sam picked it up.
Me and Bodine and Two Wolves picked up their tracks heading north from the burned-out ranch. We found the six of them the next morning. I think we was in Texas. We braced them. They jumped. We shot them. Killed five. I spoke words over them. And we brung Charles Gruen back to name it for trial.
That pretty well says it all.
He's not a wordy man, is he?
Dodge rode up and walked into the office.
John Lee is hiring more men. I got that word this afternoon.
How's his mouth?
Sore, so I'm told. I'm told they can't tell about Nick's mouth until the swelling goes down. Watch your back trail, Sam. Nick swore to kill you, and don't take him lightly. He'll kill you any way he can.
I never take death threats lightly. I guess I should have shot him when he drew on me, or tried to draw on me, back in the saloon.
You're mighty right you should have, but I understand why you didn't.
You're a pretty late dodge.
Jimmy's on the prod. We're looking for him. He left home swearing to kill John Lee. That was about noon today. Nobody's seen hide nor hair of him since.
Josiah had entered through the back door and stood listening until the foreman had finished.
Is the boy any good with a gun?
Average, I'd say. He's not fast, if that's what you mean. But he's real good with a rifle.
What brought this on?
No one knows. But he was real fond of Ed Carson. The funeral's at dawn, by the way. Ed always requested that.
We'll be there. What do you want us to do about Jimmy?
Rope him if you see him. I don't think you will. I think he's heading out, planning on how to get a shot at John Lee.
If he does that, it'll have to be called murder, Dodge.
I know it. You boys will have to go after him.
Damn.
The service was a simple one, with the Reverend Willoughby officiating. Halfway through the service, Sam looked up and saw a dust cloud rolling toward them. He dropped to his knees and put an ear to the ground, just as Willoughby stopped in the middle of his sermon and looked disapprovingly at him. Sam jumped to his boots.
Riders, a lot of them coming straight at us.
Not even John Lee would do something this horrible.
Let them open fire. If they do that, we can take it to a court of law and stop John Lee.
Get the women in the house. Move, people, move.
The riders, 50 or more strong, all wearing bandanas over their faces, circled the ranch house area, shooting at anything that moved. All of the smaller ranchers who had moved back into the area were at the funeral with their families, several of them with small children. One woman went down as a bullet hit her in the shoulder. A young girl, no more than 5 or 6, ran toward the circling gunman. A horse knocked her sprawling. She did not move.
You goddamn no-good godless heathens!
Reverend Willoughby grabbed up a rifle from a saddle boot and opened up. He knocked one rider out of the saddle and shot another in the knee. Bonnie Dodge was down on one knee, both hands filled with Colts, and his aim was deadly.
Oh my God! Ed!
Nettie Carson was shot.
Oh, sweet Jesus Christ, no!
Noah ran to his mother's side, shooting as he did. The other Flying V hands ran to cover Noah, all of them throwing lead as fast as they could.
They're trying to torch the house! Come on, brother!
The men and women had managed to exit the lonely gravesite and make it to some sort of cover. The Blood Brothers ran around the side of the ranch house and began emptying saddles. the attackers tore down the corral and scattered the horses. Most of the horses of those who had ridden over had run off, frightened and panicked. Several buggies had overturned as the scared animals bolted, smashing the buggies into buildings, water troughs, other wagons.
We'll see to the wounded first. And you boys will find out what it means to be called Texas Rangers.
Noah was sitting on the porch, his mother's hand cradled in his lap. He was crying soundlessly, tears streaking his tanned face. Lisa sat down beside him and put her arms around him, comforting him.
Oh, the little girl's arm is busted. Other than that, she seems to be all right.
Some of you boys carry that wounded lady into the house. Move!
Red was tying a bandana around his wounded leg. Compton's bullet-shattered arm hung by his side. Jeff Sparks had a gash on his forehead, and Denver had taken a round in the side and was down on the ground. Doc Winters was busy, issuing orders and cleaning out the wounds. Other than that, there was little he could do to fight any infection that might set in. When he ran out of alcohol from his bag, he ordered vinegar from the house to be used.
Acetic acid. Just do it. It works.
Josiah walked over to Jeff.
We'll be catching our horses and riding. Ain't no point in staying around for the burying. Trail'll be cold by then.
You gonna call for more rangers?
Nope.
For God's sake, man, why not?
Three of us here now. Don't need no more.
What about the wounded outlaws?
I ain't got time to fool with nothing like that. We got to get on the trail of them that's riding off.
Matt and Sam were bringing in their horses and selecting spare mounts.
I don't understand.
I do.
We'll borrow some food from the house.
Bell! Get that wagon tongue up over yonder. Lash it up high.
Right, boss.
Matt and Sam were in the saddle when Josiah swung up into his. Barlow and Chuki and Parnell were building nooses as they rode out. When there aren't any trees around and the barn's been burned down, a lashed-up wagon tongue does just fine for a hanging.
They're heading away from the Broken Lance Range, and those tracks say they're riding hard.
They'll ride for miles in this direction, with one or two of them breaking off every now and then, mixing their tracks in with cattle or following a creek bed for a time. You agree with that, Matt?
Yes. We'll probably have to split up before very long. How do we play this, Josiah?
You bring them in upright, and you'll be doing a lot of paperwork and spending days listening to the lawyers yelping back and forth. Personally, I'm a man who believes in law and order. I ain't never testified against an innocent man, nor shot an innocent man. And we ain't dealing with innocent people. Anyone who would attack folks at a funeral, shooting women and kids and interrupting God's word is trash. There ain't no pity in my heart for trash. I've had high words of praise spoke to me. I've had medals given to me by the governor. All because I'm supposed to be a good lawman. But I swear on my wife's grave, I'll not bring none of this bunch in alive. If I have to take this badge off and stomp it into the dust, I'll show no mercy to this pack of hyenas. Them's my words. You boys do what you want to do. I'm bearing off here. See ya.
Josiah Finch turned his horse and was gone, following two sets of tracks that had just left the main pack of outlaws and hired guns.
Two riders branching off here. See you, brother.
Matt rode on for another mile. Two more men left the main body and cut west. He let them go, continuing to follow the larger group. He saw where the group had stopped, perhaps to rest their horses, but more than likely to make plans. He would have to assume they were ambush plans, and in this country, where the terrain was so deceptive, an ambush would be an easy thing, if a man wasn't very careful. Matt sat his horse for a time, thinking things over. They had passed no water since leaving the funeral site. Their horses would have to have water, and that meant the raiders would be forced to swing back west toward the Pecos. Matt turned toward the river. If things worked out, he'd have a little ambush of his own. Josiah faced the two men, and they were scared. They didn't know how the ranger had gotten ahead of them, and at this juncture, that really wasn't important. He had,
and the outlaw's guns were in leather.
Morning.
Their eyes did not meet Josiah's gaze, instead remaining fixed on the muzzle of the Ranger's .45, the hammer back.
Man shouldn't ride no blue steel on a raid. Horse like that's too easy to fix in a person's mind. Your hat's got a turkey feather stuck in it. That's stupid, too. Stands out like a pimple on your nose. You're one that raided the funeral. I'm Josiah Finch, and that makes you dead.
Josiah pulled saddle and bridle off the horses and turned them loose. Josiah took the dead men's ammo and hung their gun belts on his saddle horn, after making sure all weapons were loaded up full. He left the raiders where they lay, baking under the hot Texas sun.
Hope the buzzards don't get sick.
He'd cut some more tracks in a little while. He wondered how the brothers were doing.
Breed, I don't know where you come from, but I'm gonna gut shoot you and leave you out here to die. Ah!
Sam swung down and approached the raiders. Both were dead. He checked the brands on their horses. They were not familiar to him. He stripped saddles and bridles from their horses and turned them loose. Just as Josiah had done, he took their guns, looping the gun belts on his saddle horn after checking to see they were loaded up full. He left the men where they lay. The carrion birds and wolves and coyotes would feed, and soon the bare bones would bleach under the relentless sun. The leather would rot, and the spurs would rust. Sam mounted up and rode away, wondering how his brother was doing. Matt sighted in the rider in front and squeezed the trigger. Before the large group of raiders could get out of range, Matt had emptied two more saddles. He punched rounds into his rifle as he walked back to his horse. Across the river, he left the saddle and looked at the hired guns. One was still alive, the .44 slug taking the man low in the left side and exiting out high on the right side, just under his armpit.
Lawmen ain't supposed to ambush people.
I'm an unusual lawman. You got any family you want me to notify?
You do that?
Yes.
Got a sister in Arkansas. Fort Smith. Old maid last heard. Probably still is. Ugly as sin. Mabel Tucker. She'd like to know where I'm buried. You aren't gonna bury me.
Nope.
You a cold man, Ranger.
Not as cold as you're about to be.
That's a fact.
Who hired you?
Don't know his name. Man that contacted us was a go-between, I'm sure. Gave us $100 apiece to hit the Flying V. Said there'd be a bonus if we killed a woman and the boy. Did we get him?
Matt shook his head as waves of disgust washed over him. Even dying, the outlaw was not repentant. He started to ask another question, then saw that the man was dead. He decided he would not write the old maid sister. She'd be better off forgetting this brother. As Josiah and Sam had done, he turned the horses loose and took the guns. He was just starting to swing into the saddle when he heard hooves. He turned, pistol in hand. Josiah was riding up from the south. He looked at the nearest body sprawled on the sands.
That's Heck Tucker. He's a bad one. Reward on him, but you're gonna have to tote the body in to claim it.
I think I'll pass on that.
Don't blame you. He'd be ripe as a plum before you got him in. You gonna bury him?
Would you bury yours?
Not likely.
Let's see if we can find Sam.
Sam found them, joining them about a half hour after they left the Pecos.
I heard shots.
I got two. Matt got three. How about you?
Two. I didn't recognize any of them.
I did. They're old boys fresh from the cattle wars up in Kansas. Most of them, anyway. John Lee's saving his permanent people and hiring out way far from here. What'd you boys want to do?
Trail them.
Might make good rangers after all.
They caught up with them near a trading post on the Seminole Draw after days of hot, dusty tracking. The men were dirty, unshaven, tired, hungry, and about as sociably inclined as irritated porcupines.
I was beginning to think you were lost, Josiah.
I ain't never been lost.
Horse has, but I ain't.
Horse swung his tired head around and gave Finch a baleful look.
We've been pushing them hard, and we know they're out of supplies, living on jackrabbits. Let's go get this over with.
No way we can ride in unseen. You can bet they've got lookouts.
I want something to eat I didn't have to shoot, skin, and cook. And I aim to have it before or after we brace that trash over yonder. Don't make no difference to me. Let's go.
They made a half circle and came in behind the long, low building, dismounting at the corral. Josiah patted Horse on the neck.
You just hold that saddle up for a few more minutes, old feller. I'll be out directly to relieve you of it, and you can rest for a time.
The men loosened their guns and leather and walked around the front of the trading post. The windows were so dirty and fly-specked they could not see inside. The outside walls were pocked and pitted with old bullet scars, and parts of several arrows were still embedded, grim reminders of the battles the post had endured. Josiah pushed open the door and stepped inside. The door they entered opened into the store section of the post, filled with everything that the owner figured somebody might want someday. The bar was at the far end, to the right of the men.
Maybe they didn't have guards out.
They figure they're a day or so ahead of us. They ain't been figuring on us riding all night to get here. You boys ready for a drink to cut the dust and some food for the belly?
Sounds good to me.
Matt took the lead, winding his way through the counters piled high with merchandise. The men stepped into the dimly lighted bar area. Matt walked to the middle of the bar, several long planks supported by barrels, and leaned up against it. Josiah took one end and Sam took the other. All three men were conscious of the hard eyes that stared at them from two tables pulled together in a corner of the room. The barkeep, a huge, grossly overweight man who both looked and smelled like he was only days away from his semi-annual bath, lumbered out of a back room and pulled up short at the sight of the badges pinned to the shirts of the trio. His gaze cut to the men in the corner.
Three whiskeys. Then we'll talk about something to eat.
I got stew. It's hot and fresh home-baked bread my old woman just took from the oven.
Sounds good. We'll drink first.
The barkeep looked at the identical three-stone necklaces on Matt and Sam. He looked hard at Sam.
I ain't never served up no whiskey to Injuns. If you is an Injun.
He's a breed. Pour the rot gut.
No offense meant.
The fat man filled the shot glass in front of Sam, which Sam had carefully wiped out with a handkerchief.
None taken.
Sam smiled, then suddenly whipped out a long-bladed knife. His eyes hardened. The barkeep backed up as far as he could go.
But don't serve me over three whiskeys. It stirs up my Indian blood, and I get vicious and might take a notion to start scalping.
Two'll be your limit.
Sam sheathed his knife and picked up his drink. The three of them moved to a table, arranging the chairs so they could all look over into the corner.
I don't recognize the brands on them horses out in the corral. You reckon they might be stolen?
I wouldn't doubt it.
We ain't riding no stolen horses. Them horses was bought by us.
They mighty tired animals. You boys been pushing hard since you left the Pecos. Think you ought to give them a rest.
We ain't been close to the Pecos, and I don't recall asking for your opinion on nothing. So why don't you just shut your trap?
M's Texas Rangers, boys.
That don't spell crap to me. And it damn sure don't give them the right to call us horse thieves.
I think we hurt his feelings.
Maybe so. But how do you hurt the feelings of a liar?
Good point.
You calling me a liar?
I'm calling you all liars. You're liars, backshooters, ambushers, and hired killers. We've trailed you all for days, and we've left a string of dead bodies from the Pecos to here. And the list includes Tom Johnson, Hale Rivers, Barry Jackson, and Heck Tucker. Now what do you have to say about that, you ugly bastard?
It was over in only a few heartbeats. Gunsmoke hung heavy in the low-ceiling post. The reverberating gunshots had caused old birds' nests, dirt, and droppings to fall from the ceiling.
Holy Jesus Christ!
The trio of rangers walked over to the blood-slick corner. Raiders were stacked up on top of each other, sprawled in death and near death.
Where's the rest of your bunch of trash?
You go straight to hell.
Don't make no difference. We'll find him if we have to track him clear to Canada. Who paid you to attack the ranch?
Fuck you, Ranger.
The barkeep was on his hands and knees, peeping around a barrel behind the bar.
I'll bury him for $5 apiece.
I ain't dead yet, you fat pig.
You will be in a little while. I can wait.
First thing you do is get up and fetch us something to eat. Then start dragging this trash out back. You take what they owe you and $5 more per hole. And dig the holes deep or the coyotes will eat them. Bring everything else back here, you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Josiah turned to the brothers.
I figure we got 10 back at the ranch. We left 10 more on the trail. There's 6 here. It means we ain't got but about 20 more to go. Ought to have this wrapped up in a week or so.
I want a doctor. I'm bad hurt.
Well, you best hurry up and expire. I don't see how you're living now. You got more holes in you than a prairie dog colony.
I hope the Indians get y'all and stake you out over an anthill.
What an unkind thing to say after all we've done for you.
All you've done for me? You done nothing for me except kill me.
I'm hungry. Let's eat.
The rangers caught up with 5 more at a tiny hamlet on the Blackwater Draw. The townspeople stood in silence and watched the lawmen slowly ride in, stable their horses, and slip their guns in and out of leather a time or two. 1 minute, the few stores on the short street were window-lined with people. The next minute, they were deserted.
They'll be in that hole-in-the-wall saloon over there.
Probably. And they know we're here.
The bat wings opened and 5 men crowded out, stepping into the street.
We're tired of you pushing us. Damn tired of it. We'll settle it here.
Suits me.
They come in with about 10 more, Ranger. The others pulled out this morning. They headed west toward New Mexico territory.
Thank you. Get someone to bury that trash and bring me what's in their pockets. We'll be over yonder in the saloon.
Over beer and stew, the men inspected what the raiders had in their pockets. Josiah clicked open a pocket watch and looked at the inscription.
2J from Mother. Love. 1871.
A citizen nervously approached the table where the men were sitting.
The man who'll be praying over the deceased wants to know if there's anything that should be said. I mean, well, you know what I mean.
Might say that they should have stayed in closer touch with their mamas.
They lost the trail cold shortly after entering New Mexico territory. Someone had been driving a small herd of cattle, and the raiders found out where the drovers were pushing the herd and got ahead of it.
Hell with it, boys. It'd take us days, maybe weeks, to pick up the trail. Maybe never.
The brothers looked at him in astonishment. Josiah Finch? Giving up?
You got chewed out for crossing the Texas line last time, didn't you?
You might say that, yeah. I was told to keep my butt in Texas, for a fact. Come on, we'll cut south. I know a little trading post not too far from here. Folks keep talking about there being a town there someday. Damned if I can see it. Why would anyone want to build a town in New Mexico when the Texas line is only 5 miles away?
The trading post was made of adobe and rock.
Been here for years, it looks like.
Has been.
Looks deserted.
Corral and stables are on the south side. This is supposed to have been a church, so I'm told. Injuns killed all the priests, and the place is abandoned for years. A fella named Vaquillo opened up a trading post here years back. His son runs it now. He told it's nice and cool inside, and the food is good.
They rode around the back of the place, looking it over, and pulled up short at the sight of a dozen or so horses in the corral.
I recognize that black. And that Mustang.
We lucked up, boys. Them raiders took a chance that we'd follow the herd and give them some breathing room. Then they cut back south. And here they stopped, and here we are.
The men rode into the barn and stripped their weary mounts of saddle and bridle. A worried-looking boy helped them.
Bad hombres in the post, son?
Si. They beat up my father. And I'm thinking they want to do ugly things to my sister.
Did they see us ride in?
No. They are concerned only with drinking and cussing and saying vulgar things to my mother and sister. They sent me out here and told me not to come back in until they called.
Any other gringos in the store besides them, son?
No, senor. Just my mother, my father, and my sister.
Matt gave the boy $1.
You rub these horses down good and give them all the grain they can eat. And you stay in this barn and out of sight, you hear me?
Si, senor. Senor, there are 12 of them in there. They are very rough men and they all smell very bad. There are but 3 of you.
Since they were in New Mexico territory, and Josiah said his butt still hurt from the chewing he'd received, he had taken off his Texas Ranger badge, and Matt and Sam had done the same.
We'll get your sis and your mom and your dad out of this mess, son. You can count on that. You ever heard of the Wyoming gunfighter Matt Bodine?
Sam rolled his eyes at Matt's sudden discomfort.
Si, senor. Everybody has heard of Matt Bodine.
Well, that's Bodine right there, boy.
The boy's eyes widened. He looked at Sam.
Then you must be the half-breed, Sam Toolwolves?
That's right, son.
You must be famous to be riding with these men.
I'm Jesse James, son.
No!
It's the truth. But I ain't here to rob nobody. Bodine and Two Wolves wouldn't ride with me if I was here to do a wrong. So don't you fret none about that.
Stay in here now, boy. Keep the horses calm when the shooting starts.
They stepped out of the barn and slipped along, hugging the adobe of the trading post. Sam looked at Josiah.
Jesse James?
They dropped down behind a pile of stove wood as the back door opened and a man stepped out, heading for the outhouse. He walked to it without looking in their direction. Josiah picked up a piece of stove wood and waited. The man stepped out of the privy and began his walk to the post. He looked neither left nor right. Josiah stood up and tossed the chunk all in one motion. He missed the man's head by a good 2 feet, but Sam was already up and running at the throw. Sam dragged him back to the privy. Having nothing to tie the man up with, Sam jerked off the 2-hole privy seat and shoved the man down in the pit.
What'd you do with him? Dropped him down the outhouse pit.
Good place for him. Be sure to tell the people here to dig a new hole and fill this one in. It'll be ripe here before long.
You're becoming very inventive, brother.
I didn't know what else to do with him.
They'll be missing him in a few minutes and somebody else will be out to check. Anybody got a plan?
We sure can't go in shooting. And if we try to take them out one at a time, they'll get suspicious and hold the people hostage.
That's what they're doing now. But I know what you mean.
Wait here. I want to talk to the boy one more time.
He was gone only a short time. When he returned, he laid out the interior of the trading post, drawing each room into the dirt.
The raiders are all in the saloon part. The boy's father was pistol-whipped and tossed in the small storeroom, tied up. When the boy was ordered out of the place, there was no one in the family's living quarters right here.
Sam pointed to an open shuttered window only a few yards away.
That's the window right there.
That's it.
Someone has to do it, so I'm gone.
Sam ran from behind the woodpile, reached the house, stayed close to the wall, and peeked into the bedroom. He signaled that it was empty, and then disappeared into the room, crawling through the open window. Matt and Josiah followed. With Matt in the lead, the trio walked through the bedroom and into the hall. Sam and Josiah had guns in hands, hammers back. Matt carried a long-bladed knife for silent work.
Sounds like we're just in time.
The men flattened against a wall as a door opened and a man staggered out, sloppy drunk and careless. He fell against a wall, turned, and saw Matt only a few feet away in the dark hall. He opened his mouth to yell.
No, never. I'll go straight in. Sam, you cut right. Josiah, you take the left side.
Let's do it.
The trio ran toward the open archway and went in low and fast, splitting up. Josiah shot the man who was forcing the girl's legs apart through the head. The men fanned at the thick gray smoke. Sam began propping open windows to help clear the air. Josiah tossed the mother a serape to cover her daughter's nakedness.
I'll get the man. Sam, check for wounded, will you?
Personally, I hope we don't find any.
As much lead as we slung around, I doubt it.
The trading post owner was awake and mad clear through. His jaw was swollen where he'd been hit with a pistol, but other than that, he was all right. Matt untied him.
Two alive so far.
I'll get a rope.
Matt did not disagree. Mad as the man was, he'd be awful hard to talk out of a hanging.
Maria, get our daughter out of here. Take her to the bedroom. I have work to do.
We will witness it. It is only right.
A hard smile appeared on the man's bruised face.
As you wish, Maria.
Sam and Matt were busy dragging bodies out the back door.
Where are you putting the bodies?
In the outhouse pit. I guess we'd better help them dig another pit and move the privy.
That'd be the neighborly thing to do. Maria'll probably cook us up some fine victuals, and I do like Mexican food.
The post owner and his family saw justice done at the end of a rope for the two surviving outlaws. The men worked on into the evening, digging a new pit and slinging the dirt from that hole over into the pit that contained the bodies, among other things. It was well after dark before they finished and could take a very welcomed hot bath and then chow down. And eat they did, with Maria fixing a feast for them. After the boy had been put to bed, the post owner looked over at Josiah and smiled.
I have seen pictures of Jesse James, sir. Not that it matters, for you are all saviors. But you are not Jesse James.
But the boy don't have to know that. We're Texas Rangers, just slightly out of our jurisdiction.
Jesse James it is, then, senor. I understand, knowing how little boys love to brag of their adventures.
He wouldn't have had time to do much bragging. That bunch didn't have plans to leave any survivors behind when they left.
They would have killed a child?
Just as quick as they'd kill anything else.
Just to be on the safe side, Josiah crossed over what he believed to be the territory line and got back into Texas.
Some of them got away, but we cut the numbers down a goodly bit, I'd say.
I'll add that the survivors will probably think twice before returning to Texas.
That's the way I like it.
Several days later, they swung down from their saddles in the yard of the Circle S. They had picked up a frame at the trading post and used one of the spare mounts as a pack horse, bringing in a lot of rifles and pistols from the dead outlaws. The horse didn't like it much, but after a few miles, he settled down. Jeff Sparks stepped out to greet them.
Any word from Jimmy?
Not a peep. Boy's either dead or he's found him a deep hole and is just waiting for John Lee to come into gun sights. You boys look like you hit pay dirt, in a manner of speaking.
Close to 30, if my tallying's right. What was the final count here?
9, including the 2 we hanged.
What's the word on John Lee?
Still hiring any gun that'll ride for him. He's got him an army for sure.
He's also spending a lot of money.
He's got it to spend, Josiah.
Pitiful. Some type of man gets some money, he seems to go crazy about wanting more. How's that foolish boy of his?
Crazier than ever. He was always vain about his looks, just like his father. But Matt fixed John's looks, and Sam did the same to Nick. I'm told they're both a sight to see and listen to with no front teeth. And by the way, Bam and Penn are doing an excellent job as lawmen. I think they finally found their calling.
They're both pretty good old boys. They's just riding down the wrong trail for a time, and they both knew it.
You boys get cleaned up. Conchita will have supper ready in a little while.
The next day was Sunday, so Matt and Sam were informed by Leah and Lisa, and they were all going into town for church.
We are?
We are.
Leah gave Sam a dirty look. Lisa was spending more and more time with Noah, and that suited Sam just fine. The hands would stay at the ranch. Conchita was a Catholic and wouldn't dream of setting foot in any Baptist church, so Dodge was staying behind too. The ride into town was uneventful, except for the heat and the dust. Summer was on the land in full force, and even early in the morning it was hot, just plain hot. Leah looked at the rangers.
Like hell must be for those who don't go to church.
The trio escorted the family to church.
The path to hellfire and damnation is littered with the souls of those who chose strong drink over the words of the Lord.
Go pee up a rope.
Have you been saved, brothers?
Saved from having to listen to the likes of you.
Heathen!
Sam and Matt grabbed Josiah before the man could turn around and direct a few well-chosen words in the preacher's direction. They hustled him off to the saloon, where they joined Penn Masters and Bam Ford.
That Willoughby's a pest. He's about to bore me to death about being saved. But I tell you what, Them boys who was at the funeral when the raiders hit say he's hell with a rifle and there ain't no backup in that man.
I'll give him that much. Broken Lance riders ever come into town?
Few at a time. They haven't caused no trouble, though. They have a few drinks, buy their tobacco and so forth, and leave.
How's the prisoner?
Getting fat. I got a letter from a judge said he'd be over this way in a month or so. It's costing the town a lot of money to keep him, and the merchants are complaining about it. They tell me either try him, hang him, or cut him loose.
Matt and Sam can write out depositions, and one of your boys can take him on the stage down to Fort Stockton. Let them worry about him for a while.
There ain't no stage on Sunday, but I can load him up tomorrow and be back the next day.
We'll get pen and ink and write it out.
Take your time. I got a hunch Willoughby's gonna preach for about half the day. One of them ladies will get tired of it and wave a basket of fried chicken under his nose. That'll shut him up.
The brothers wrote out their depositions, and Bam took the papers back to the office. At Josiah's orders, he did not tell Gruen he was to be moved. He did not want the outlaw to tell some midnight visitor, and he'd been having a few, and then have the stagecoach stopped at gunpoint in an escape attempt.
Riders pulled into the livery. About a dozen of them.
You recognize any of them?
No, but they don't look like they're here to attend church.
The batwings pushed open, the saloon swelling with a dozen riders, dusty and trail-worn, and all of them packing two guns. A big man in the lead looked over at the table and smiled.
Penn, when did you start toting a star?
Cannon, you're a long way from Utah.
Man can go where he can find work. I hate to see that badge on your chest.
You'll like it even less if you break the law. You know Bam, don't you?
Cannon's eyes narrowed.
Bam Ford wearing a damn badge, too. What's the world coming to?
Bam ignored the man. Cannon looked at the five lawmen seated around the table.
We're here to ride from Broken Lance. Nothing more than an honest day's work for good pay, that's all.
Oh, that's a good one, Cannon. You never done anything honest in your life. And from the looks of your friends, an honest puncher is as rare in this room as teeth on a chicken. We know exactly what John Lee hired you for. But since you ain't bushwhacked any innocent people or destroyed any property yet, go ahead and have a drink. But after that, you and your scum friends can get the hell out.
Real hospitable of you, masters. When John Lee takes over this town, maybe he'll return the favor.
John Lee waited exactly 24 hours after his new gunmen hit town to strike back at what he considered to be his mortal enemies. He had convinced himself, during his laudanum-induced haze while having his and his son's broken teeth extracted by a dentist he had brought in from El Paso, that everybody was his mortal enemy. When he struck hard and mean and vicious. A small rancher who had moved back into the area and who was running about 250 head of cattle experienced the full fury of John Lee's night riders. Matt and Sam and Josiah could sense death long before they reached the burned out and still smoking ruins of what had been a house. The night riders had fired several hundred rounds, killing not only the rancher and his wife and two children, but also killing about 100 head of cattle. They lay stinking and bloating under the sun, while overhead, the buzzard slowly circled, waiting for a meal.
The man stepped over the line.
They scattered the rest of the herd, then got in with them hiding their tracks.
Pushing the herd west, towards that little creek about 5 miles away. That's where they'll get in the water and try to lose us.
Matt pointed to a piece of sacking on the ground.
When they leave the creek, they'll tie sacking on the horse's hooves to leave less of a trail. They're getting smarter and more vicious.
Jeff Sparks and some of his hands rode up. The men, grim-faced, sat their saddles for a moment.
Gilly, you and Parnell ride into town and get the minister. We'll dig some holes and then drag these cattle off a ways. It's not going to be fun, but we got to do it, so let's do it.
Dr. Winters rode out with Willoughby and looked at the bodies.
This child has been shot at least a dozen times. I've never seen such a brutal and totally vicious, senseless thing in my life.
Was she raped?
No, I don't believe so.
It appears they rode this young boy down and trampled him to death, then filled him full of holes. Fighting grown-up men is one thing, but anybody who'd do this to a child don't deserve nothing better than a rope. And a slow hanging at that.
Leah and Lisa rode up, with Dodge and Noah accompanying them. The girls took one look at the still uncovered bodies and got a little green around the gills.
Stop this, and do it now. If you don't, we will.
Now, Vonnie.
I'm telling you flat out, Josiah. John Lee ain't the only one who can night ride.
I forget you said that, Vonnie.
I don't give a damn what you remember or forget. You either put a stop to this legal-like, or we ride against the Broken Lance full force. I know some boys I can call in, and you know the type of men I'm talking about.
The tall old gunfighter and the Texas Ranger faced each other amid the stink of violent and senseless death. And to tell the truth, even though Josiah didn't think it would ever come to gunplay between them, Josiah wasn't at all sure he was faster than Vonnie. Damn few men were.
Give us time, Vonnie. Give us time to track and trail and try to build a case. Give us that much at least.
The old gunfighter stared at the much younger man for a moment, then slowly nodded his head.
I'll give you a few days, Matt. But be forewarned about this. I've talked it over with the hands. They're drawing fighting wages, and they're ready to fight. We gotta bring peace to this country. And if we have to bushwhack John Lee and his no-count son to do it, then so be it. The end will justify the means.
An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. Thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life.
Yeah, I know, Willoughby. Deuteronomy. See to the dead. Me and the boys will ride over to Broken Lance, spread, and talk to John Lee. Let's go.
John Lee and his bunch just might shoot us on sight.
Doubtful. Though none of them boys want the Rangers in here full force.
The three of them were shocked at John Lee's appearance. The man's eyes were wild and his person unkempt.
Just shut up your mouth and listen to me.
John Lee stood on the front porch of his grand house and glared at the Rangers. His son stood by his side, his hands by the butts of his guns. He appeared to be at least as crazy as his father.
You're just a few days away from a full-scale war, John Lee. Maybe only hours away. Now, we're trying to keep a lid on the pot, but I don't know how long we can do it. Now, you started this senseless crap, and you can stop it. Fire all these damn gun hands you got hanging around you. Go on back to ranching and leave other folks alone. You got more than enough for one man. Pull in your horns and do it right now, John Lee.
You go straight the fuck to hell, Finch. Right at the devil's flaming bunghole. And when that worthless fucking tin badge on your chest is good and hot, you can pull it off there and shove it right up your bleeding fucking asshole sideways.
And that goes for me, too.
And you can't prove that I done a damn thing wrong, neither. If you had any proof, you'd be arresting me, not running your mouth.
And that goes for me, too.
All right, John Lee. I tried. God knows I tried. And that's all a mule can do is try. One more raid on your part, and you're going to open up the gates of hell, and I mean it. I don't know why you can't see that.
Unless you got a warrant for my arrest, I suggest you get the fuck off my property. All of you, right now!
I will be seeing you, John Lee. Bet on it. I just hope it ain't looking at you down the barrel of a gun.
Get off my property!